301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. The coach will talk later on this afternoon, I would assume, some sort of update, but nothing definitive, I would guess, on Jaden Daniels. But all of the reporting yesterday, pregame and even during the game, with the announcing crew was all about the idea that Jaden would return Sunday against the Chargers. October is 2 days away, and so will the return of chilly air seeping into your home. That is if you've got old, stuck, or cracked windows. Eliminate annoying drafts once and for all with top quality replacement windows from Window Nation. Window Nation has some of the best replacement windows out there. Their installation crews finish the job in 1 day or less, so you can get back to your daily routines with minimal interruption. Window Nation offers a lifetime warranty on all their windows, so you can relax knowing your home is protected far into the future. During the month of October, when you buy two windows, you'll get the next two free. There's no limit to how many windows you can replace, and your total price includes 1 day installation. Make no payments for 2 years. That's no monthly payments, no down payment, and no interest until 2027. That's a big deal with the holidays right around the corner. Put an end to your window problems before this beautiful fall weather ends. Call Window Nation today at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. All right, back to my game take. I had just started with the things that were not good from the game, and it's all about defense, number one. But number two, for real quickly, actually, from Lawrence. Lawrence writes, clear coverage issues, too many linebackers in coverage, including your boy Armstrong. Yeah, Armstrong will drop into coverage every once in a while. There are certain things we as, you know, I think attentive fans can identify. Wagner in coverage doesn't look like the best idea as, you know, something you want to do too much of. Lattimore appears to be struggling, yes. It appears as if there are too many free releases for receivers at the line of scrimmage, especially when they use motion. There was a 3rd and 4 with Bijan in the slot yesterday where it didn't look like anybody was covering him. There are lots of issues, but again, is it scheme, play calling, coaching, you know, in one bucket, or is it players, talent, execution in the other? I bet it's somewhere in between. They got to fix it, okay? Herbert, Keenan Allen, Ladd McConkey and company, Quentin Johnston, he's having a much better year this year. Yeah, they've got to get better in that area. Defense, number one on the list of things that all of us, I'm sure, had a problem with yesterday. Number two for me is Cliff Kingsbury's play calling. I say this every time I do this because Sonny Jurgensen for years said, stop doing the, you know, you think the play calling was bad. But when you've got two of your backs going 14 for 106 and 7.5 yards per carry. As a team, 22 for 147, 6.7 yards per carry. I think that's all that you really need to say, why 33 called pass plays? If you count, by the way, penalties, sacks, and scramble, why 33 called pass plays and 20 called run plays? Why? Like, they weren't behind so much throughout the entire game that they had to desperately down 21-0 start throwing the football. It was, you know, 10-7. It was 17-10. It was 17-13. It was 24-16. You know, now, by the time they got the ball back, 31-24, understood, you know, or 34-24 when they got the ball back down, 34-24, you got to throw there. And sometimes that'll skew some of the numbers. I just didn't love it. I felt kind of like I did it in the Green Bay game in that you were having a major problem defensively. And then yesterday there wasn't an issue with pass protection or throwing the football like there was in the Green Bay game. But with the play count and the time of possession kind of doubled up in the first half, I think you wanted to come back and do something a little bit more time-consuming. You know, if you go to the first play of the second half, okay, Bill's in the game. He rips off a 16-yard first down run. They go tempo, and they take a deep shot to Lane, which was caught, by the way, but holding on Sinnott. So before you know it, it's first and 20, and then after an offensive PI on McCaffrey, it's first and 30. They amazingly, okay, overcame the first and 30. That was where Mariota on third and 14 scrambled for 22 yards. But you really weren't getting stopped. And by the way, Kroski Merritt is and Rodriguez are two of your better players, two of your better skill position players. I'd like to see in the next four games, Kroski Merritt's got 29 carries in four games. I'd like to see double that in the next four. And I understand, I said this earlier, that they have some concerns, I'm sure, with his inexperience, especially as a pass protector. Coach him up. You got to have him on the field. If the same issue exists with Rodriguez, coach him up. You need those guys on the field more. You need them carrying the ball more. I think it's a decent run-blocking offensive line with the way they've, you know, structured it the last 2 weeks. You know, they didn't go heavy jumbo as much, I don't think, as last week. I'd have to look at the snap count for Trent Scott. They started the game that way. Find the snap count for Trent Scott. I'm going to bet it's not what it was last week. Last week he was in for about a third of the plays.
Looking right now, Nikki just posted them.
Trent Scott, nine snaps in the game out of 57. So yeah, a lot less of the jumbo sixth offensive lineman in the game than last week, even though they started the game that way. I don't know. To me, they should have been able to run the football. They were bigger than Atlanta was up front. What did you say? I'm sorry, Max.
9 snaps, 16%.
Yeah. So I think that they could have gone to the run more. I felt that way against Green Bay, but Bates was lost, and they felt like they weren't going to be successful doing that. And maybe they would have been right. But here's what's indisputable. The two running backs yesterday were averaging a ridiculous 7.5 yards per carry. And these weren't, you know, draws at the end of the first half from your own 20 running the clock out where somebody goes for 30. Okay. These were, you know, first down, second down runs. On the list of things that I didn't like, there were a lot of fumbles in the game, but none of them were lost. Amazingly, Lane muffed two punts at the end of the first half. Debo fumbled and recovered it. So they got lucky, you know, that they didn't lose one of those. Atlanta fumbled too. Bijan fumbled on that knockout by Payne, which, by the way, saved them 4 points because it was second and one and it went to third and seven and they got the stop, you know, one of the, you know, few times that they got a stop on third down and they forced a field goal. So that was a big play. And then on a punt by Tressway near the end of the first half, that ball knocked off, you know, one of the Atlanta players, you know, legs, shins, and that was loose for a while. But Lane, two muffed punts. That was disappointing because he had not really done that. You know, we had that issue, remember, last year with Zacchaeus a little bit back on punts. So two more things on the list of things that I didn't like. So the first is very nitpicky, but I just thought Quinn should have been more aggressive at the end of the first half. Now, when they took over from their own 8-yard line, I would have been fine with him being conservative there, but they got to the 33 in a few plays, and then on a second and 10, they ran McNichols and let the clock run. The ball's at the 35-yard line, the second and 10 run. Come on, man. You got out to the 33 pretty quickly. Let's go for it. You know, this has been his MO. And you've got a quarterback that, for the most part, is making some good decisions and some good throws. I understand you're limited in your offense, you know, of array of weapons. But you covered some 25 yards of ground pretty quickly, and then you dialed it back. I think, you know, he might say, when we got to second and 10 after the first incompletion, we wanted to run the clock. We were that two-yard run wasn't intended to be a two-yard run. We thought we could get 7 or 8, and then we would have gone faster with the ball at the 40-yard line. But once we did that and we were faced with 3rd and 8, they weren't calling a timeout, which was a mistake on their part. We just wanted to go into the, you know, locker room down 7, knowing we would get the ball first to start the second half. I understand that thinking, but man, I don't know. He's always been an err on the side of being aggressive, and we've now had, I think, 2 occasions at the end of halves where they've been, you know, uncharacteristically conservative. Then last on the list, they did not need to kick that field goal at the end down 34-24 when they kicked it, okay? That, I mean, most of you understand this, and I know a lot of you don't. It's not your thing. You don't follow all this stuff. But down 34-24 with no timeouts left, you need, obviously, a field goal and a touchdown, right? You're going to have to recover an onside kick, regardless of what the next score is. You'd much rather the next score be a field goal with, you know, 30 seconds or so left in the game, 25 seconds or so left in the game, giving you a legitimate chance to get in field goal range. They had moved the ball up and down the field in the fourth quarter, and they were moving the ball up and down the field again. And for some reason, they clocked it when they reached the Atlanta 24, and they sent Matt Gay out there with a minute 29 left. And the purpose of that is, look, if we're going to need a touchdown, we want the most amount of time if we do recover the onside kick. I understand that. But you were in touchdown scoring range. You were 4 yards away from the red zone. And you had them on their heels. I would have gone another 40 seconds, another 5, 6, 7, 8 snaps in the game. Although with the clock running, if it's inbounds, it's going to be far fewer. Understood. But call it 3 or 4 snaps, offensive snaps, trying to score a touchdown before I would have sent the field goal kicker out there. You really, when you're down, you know, when you're down 9, 10, or 11 in a game, late in a game, there's so many different scenarios. But basically, if you're in that situation where you have no timeouts and you're below the 2-minute warning and you're going to have to recover an onside kick, if you've got an opportunity to get the touchdown first, which they did based on the context, which was they had moved the ball down the field in the previous drive and the drive prior to that, and there they were moving it down the field again, and they had a minute 30 left. A minute 30. No, don't kick there. Go get the touchdown. Spend at least another 45 seconds trying to get the touchdown. How many plays is that? It depends on how many plays are inbounds versus out of bounds, completed versus incompleted, penalties versus no penalties. It was just, there are times where you want that kicker out there. You know, like if you've got less than 3 timeouts left, okay, less than 3, and you're before the 2-minute warning, and you can get a kickoff before the 2-minute warning, forcing them to run a play before the 2-minute warning on offense, giving you a 3rd timeout, you do it there. You certainly do it with 30 seconds or 25 seconds left down 10 so that you ensure you've got time left if you recover an onside kick to at least get into range for a Hail Mary or a touchdown. I would not have kicked with a minute 29 left. It was far too early. All right, other observations from the game. I talked about him all week long. I think I've talked about him going back to last year. Bijan Robinson is one of the most mesmerizing players in the league to watch if you're just a football fan and you can be objective. He is truly a superstar. He is right there with Saquon, with Derrick Henry as runners. He's also an excellent pass catcher. Bijan Robinson has this sick ability to make people miss with unbelievable cut on dime ability. He's got wiggle. He's got the ability to make people never sort of square up and hit him directly. He's got speed, although Reeves made a great play running him down on that pass. he was outstanding in that game yesterday, and their best players had to be, and they were desperate to be. Michael Penix, by the way, Bijan's combined 181 yards was a career high for him. That was actually surprising to me. I would have thought he would have had a buck 50 and a 75-yard passing day. Michael Penix Jr. was really, really good in the game. He has top 10 arm talent, period. Okay, so did Cam Newton, so did Jamarcus Russell, so did Jeff George. I understand that, okay? Michael Penix Jr. has top 10 arm talent. He's got a ridiculous, you know, throwing motion. It's such a quick release. And when he sees it and he is decisive, you saw it at Washington, he is really good. I think he's going to be an outstanding NFL quarterback. He was my number three quarterback behind Jaden and Caleb in the draft. I liked him a lot more than McCarthy, a lot more than Nix, a lot more. I liked him more than I liked Drake May, and I liked Drake May. But I think Penix Jr. has elite-level potential as a passer. He was terrible last week. If they weren't playing our team, I would have really appreciated the resilience for him because he heard it all week. I watched his press conference on Wednesday. It was so impressive. And everything from down there, from the people that cover the team, the people, the players, this kid is self-aware. He's accountable. I think he's going to be a star at the position. And yeah, Washington's defense and coverage issues seem to be easy pickings for quarterbacks with some talent. Penix Jr. was outstanding. Other observations from the game. Raheem Morris just is terrible as a game situation coach. I mean, bottom four or five in the league. He literally cost his team a playoff berth when they lost here in December with his just abysmal clock management at the end of the half and at the end of the game last year. And he doesn't have a clue. I know Raheem is incredibly well-liked, and he is a motivator. He is a people person. He has no clue how bad he is. They can't stand him down there for this. And I don't understand when Quinn decided to bail at the end of the first half with that run to McNichols on second and 10 that got 2 yards. I don't know why he's not calling timeout. Like, it's the same thing they did last year. They didn't give their team a chance up 14-7 to go up 21-7 in Washington in Landover and instead kicked a field goal. It was pathetic. He just is really, really awful at that. And I don't think he is coachable. Raheem is one of those guys. He's a people guy, but he's got all the answers. Just ask him. They're terrible at that. Ben Sinnott for the second straight week stood out to me as a blocker. There was a play yesterday, a reverse to Debo, where he blocked two people. I think he's proven himself here recently to be a good blocker. Of course, he's not a pass target, surprisingly. He also had a couple of penalties yesterday. The Falcons, here's another observation. The Falcons made a PAT after the ball was tipped. I can't see who got a piece of it. Maybe we'll find out who it was. But with all of the kicks that have been blocked around the league, more yesterday, and last night, you had a two-point return on a PAT by the Cowboys. That kick got through, though. Got through from 33 yards out on a PAT after it got deflected at the line of scrimmage. Also, look, this is a two-point conversion analytics thing. I understand having more information is better than having less information. Down 31-16 on the 4th-and-3 touchdown pass to Debo, Quinn decided to go for two there. They converted it. Look, the conversion rate on two-point plays is still less than 50% on average in the league. So if you don't get it, it's 31-22. Yes, you have more information. You now need two scores. I understand that is valuable to know that. I also think that there is game pressure that exists in an 8-point game for your opponent versus a 9-point game. I wonder if that is factored into that decision. I'm not criticizing him for it. If I was, I would have had him on the list of things I didn't like. I just think that this going for two down in that situation, down 15 initially, creates the probability, because two-point conversions are less than 50-50, that it's going to be a nine-point game and the other team is not going to feel enough game pressure. And I think there's something to score time and associated game pressure and the way the game is played after that. But anyway, just an observation. Your chance now, 301-230-0980. I'll take your calls next.